B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour on the Mike Mussinelli Show. It is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Just check them out online at landisbc.com. Well, there is a football game. You never know it on a Friday here, on Football Friday. Eagles and the Redskins. Nobody that excited. Don't know why. Are the Eagle fans taking it for granted, or don't they care anymore? Brian Westbrook joins us in the 4 o'clock hour every Friday, also brought to us by Landis Block. Mr. Westbrook, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Mike. I'm not taking it for granted. I'm excited about the football game this Friday, and I'm going to sit here and tell you right now, if we play like we played in the first half of that football game on Monday, I'm not sure that we win in the game.
I actually agree with you. I think that the Redskins are going to actually win this game. However, I think their quarterback makes so many mistakes that it may come down to him just giving the game away.
Well, that's true. Dwayne Haskins likes to throw the ball to the other team. He likes to, you know, he's a rookie. I mean, that's the end of the game. He's a rookie. When he is pressured, he throws the ball to the other team. And so we have to take advantage of that. And I think we will. But listen, if we turn the ball over, if we look bad against them, then that says a different story.
All right, let's look at the reality of this game, because the reality is, and we'll get to Aguilar in a second on what you think about him, but it doesn't look like he's playing. So it'll be Ortega, Whiteside, Ward, your starters. They mixed in Perkins last week as a tight end slash wide receiver. They just gave the practice squad named Robert Davis, and they unleashed Boston Scott last week. Is that enough?
I think it's enough to beat the Redskins. And again, the Redskins are not a very good football team. However, they've won two out of their last three. They played Green Bay tough, only lost by 5 points in Green Bay, a team that, you know, that we went out there and played and we beat. I offensively, if we're playing a team that had some offensive firepower or a veteran quarterback, I would say no. But we are playing against a team that has a rookie quarterback that has made a bunch of mistakes, has twice as many interceptions as he does touchdowns. And because of that, I think that those weapons that you just named should be enough to beat this team.
You know, it's really funny. These two teams are just limping to the finish. The Cowboys are probably going to lose to the Rams on Sunday as well. So if the Eagles lose to the Redskins, it still wouldn't matter, depending on what Dallas does. I think people's enthusiasm has been curtailed, because this Dallas Eagle thing doesn't have any starch in it. And two, you know, this division is so bad, they know that neither of these teams have a chance in the playoffs if they get there.
Well, I don't know, Mike. So I was at the game on Monday, and the stadium was dead most of the game, mm-hmm. as you know, because we weren't playing very well. They were booing. The fans were. But as soon as Boston Scott made a couple plays, as soon as we started scoring some points and things like that, the fans in the stadium came right back. And you just got to remember the weather on Monday. It was rainy. It was kind of chilly. And, you know, it was just a weird sense. And we weren't playing well. And it was a late Monday night. And the fans came right back. And it was kind of weird, because I was shocked. Because before the game, nobody in the world would have said Boston Scott would have had that type of impact on the game. And as soon as he did, the fans started screaming his name, Boston Scott. Well, I mean, it was amazing to see. And so I think the fans are kind of still in it. But to your point, when you're playing against a team that has three wins, and really the last 2 weeks in a row, the Dolphins had two wins when we played them. I think the Giants had three wins when we played them. And now we're playing the Redskins with three wins. It just doesn't bring a lot of excitement to the game, and I certainly understand that from a fan perspective as well.
All right, let's talk about Boston Scott, because I'm a hard sell. I don't get carried away with one-game performances. Anybody could have those. I don't know that he's real or not. But even if he is, I got to think that the Redskins' defensive coaches are smart enough to go, okay, here's what they did. Mm-hmm. They moved the pocket a little bit. They did tempo. And they got the little guys in space and swing passes and things like that. So I guess we have to take that away.
That's exactly what they're going to be saying. How do you stop this offense? Mm-hmm. Well, you got to find a way to get bodies around Boston Scott. You got to find a way to make Carson Wentz roll you know, stay in the pocket and pass the football. Make him throw the ball to Greg Ward. And if you get beat by Greg Ward and Perkins, then we just got beat. That's what I would be saying if I was a defensive coordinator. And so, of course, they worked all week long as saying, let's put a body on the running back coming out of the backfield. Let's make sure that when Scott's in the game, we're alert for screens and draws and all those types of things. And so anytime that you have, and it's usually called an unscouted look. So during the week of practice, you prepare for these certain things. And I'm sure they prepared for Miles Sanders last week. I'm sure they prepared for a little bit of Jay Ajayi, whatever they need to do with that. They did not prepare for Boston Scott. They didn't prepare for that. So when he came into the game, the defense, their advantage is taken away because they don't know exactly what he does well. Well, the Redskins have that tape. They will know exactly what Boston Scott does well. And so those things, it may be a little bit harder to find ways to get him in space. But, Mike, I want to bring up a point. They knew exactly what I was going to do when I stepped on the field. They knew exactly what Darren Sproles does well when he was on the field. And we were still very productive in the same offense. Boston Scott, with his skill set that we saw a little bit on Monday night, still can be productive as long as they can find a way to get him in space. That's Doug Peterson's job, to get him in space, to allow him to be productive.
All right, you have more faith in him than I do.
I thought he looked good. I was impressed by the way he ran.
I was too, but it's again against the Giants. It was a home game. I don't get carried away with.
Well,
a guy comes out of nowhere.
Next Gale Sayers. I'm just saying that for our offense. I'm not trying to get carried away.
No, I hear you. Offense, what I'm saying is, if the defensive coordinators are going to try to stop that, he's not good enough when they're aiming at him to beat it. That's only my point, you know?
You don't know that now.
Do you? I mean, no, he comes from nowhere. He was a practice squad guy. All of a sudden, he comes from nowhere, and now he's Brian Westbrook?
Well, no, this is what we saw from him, though. The quickness, that goes from game to game. The ability to make people miss, that goes from game to game.
He's always had that. He's always had quickness, right? And why all of a sudden did it surface?
Because he has fresh legs and everyone else is working on the 15th week of the season. Because you're playing against a team that had 3 wins. And this week, guess what you're playing? Against a team that has 3 wins.
Okay.
So maybe that helps out a little bit.
Maybe you're right.
On Tuesday, people were calling and saying he looked like Westbrook, and I corrected on Brian's behalf every single one of them. I said, Don't disrespect Brian Westbrook.
I heard him.
Do not disrespect him at calling him Westbrook after one game. It takes more time. So I had your back, Brian. But a lot of people were saying, oh, he looked like Brian Westbrook out there on Tuesday. I was like,
This is what we do in Philadelphia, Brian. This is why I guard against it. It's the Korkmaz theory. They see one 3-point shot go in, all of a sudden he's, a sniper.
That's true.
All right. Let's talk about the Aguilar situation. Now, I don't know what's up, but I know you've played with players who now know that their future is not here. Mm-hmm. And so they're a free agent. They got to sell their wares around the league, and all of a sudden the knee starts to hurt a little more. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
All right, so what are you feeling here about his reluctance to play?
Well, again, I think the case that you made is absolutely correct, that you know he's not going to be here next year. We kind of all know that he's playing for his next contract, and for him to go out there and play not 100% doesn't always help his case to find that next contract. Now, I think that the truth is that if you've seen the collection of his play over the last 3-4 years, that's going to speak much more than these last couple games of this year. Even if let's just say he was healthy and went out and balled out 150 yards every game, the scouts are going to be like, well, hold on, Tama, but you had 150 yards in 3 games in your career. What about the other 30 games that you played that you had 30 yards? And so I think, in a way, sometimes players believe that not playing when you're not 100%, especially when you're in a situation that Nelson is in, where he's going to be a free agent, that kind of helps them when they hit the open market. I kind of believe the other thing, that your play throughout your career is going to dictate whether you're going to get another contract or not. So I think that if that's the case for Nelson, he's probably making a mistake. He should just go out there and try to help his team. And here's the other thing, Mike. I've listened to Nelson talk. I've seen Nelson stand in front of the cameras and say and talk even after terrible games. In my heart, and again, I don't know anything about his injury or his mindset right now, but in my mind, I think that if Nelson was healthy enough to play, that he would play. I really do, and it's a weird feeling that I have. I don't know the kid that well. I know him just a little bit. He seems like a kid that's willing to play, and I don't know who's gotten in his ear, maybe his agent, maybe other players on the team. But I believe that if he was healthy enough to play, that he actually would play. So I'm not going to sit here and say mm-hmm. that he's doing this for the contract. I've seen other players do it for the contract, though.
Okay. I mean, and that's fair enough.
Do you think that he would sit out because he's trying to save himself?
Yeah, I do. I think he's a weird cat, first of all. So I don't know what's going on through his head, but... I would think in a situation like this where they haven't really said what's wrong with his knee and it's a sore knee and they're struggling to put guys on the field at that position. Mm-hmm. And I would think if you really love the game, no matter what your situation, well, I just think the guy's weird. And he's like right now it behooves him not to play.
Yeah, people think you're weird too. So
Now remember the timeline real fast. He claims that now we didn't hear about it, that he heard it in the Minnesota game all those weeks ago, mm-hmm. claimed that he re-injured it when he failed to catch that pass at the end of the Patriots game.
I remember grabbing his knee in that game. I do remember
right,
that.
At the last play, I thought it was because he didn't track it well and was trying to cover from being embarrassed, but maybe he was really hurt. Sat out the Seahawks game, comes back and plays 89% of the snaps of the Miami game. They lose, and now the knee has, quote, been stalemated since then. And the coach even said today, I don't know what stalemate means. The coach said that today. Natalie, you have the cut.
Yes, I do.
You
let me
hear
pull it up.
Where the coach says, I don't know what stalemate means.
Here it is.
Let's hear it.
Work through today, see where he's at. Obviously, he hasn't worked, you know, the last couple of days. Not sure what stalemate means, but, yeah, we're still working through it.
What does that sound like to you? That's the coach. He sounds perturbed.
Well, we heard similar things from Doug, a couple weeks ago when he said that we wish guys would push through some injuries and play. I kind of feel like Doug is saying the same thing here, that he's not 100% sure what's going on with the injury, and he wished that Nelson would just get out there and play. And that makes sense. If you're mm-hmm. Doug Peterson, you're trying to make it to the playoffs, too, and you need your best players out there on the field. You want the guys that can help you win out there on the field, and apparently he feels Nelson is one of those guys. I can understand that from both sides, from Doug's point of view, certainly.
All right, let's before we get back to the phone, I just wanted to address this with you. What do you think the mindset of this team is right now? Now, they did rally in the second half against the Giants, but if you're a smart guy, you've been around, you go, this team doesn't have it. You know, I mean, I don't know they think that way, but what do you think they're fighting for at this point? Do you think there is that kind of fight in them where they're really excited about winning a division, getting to the playoffs?
Well, so from the analyst side of things, I look at the NFL as a whole. And let's just narrow that down to the NFC. I look at teams like Seattle and Green Bay and Minnesota and San Francisco and, you know, all the other teams that are good, the Saints. And say we're not even close to any of those teams, right? Well, that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. But still, as that analyst, I'm saying in the NFC East, Dallas sucks too, and they've lost three in a row, and they haven't beat a team over 500 all season. So, do we have a chance of winning the NFC East? Absolutely. Do we get a home playoff game? What can happen in that game? I don't know. Two interceptions, a fumble recovery, a block kick. Maybe the offense finds its way, and we find a way to win. We go on the road and, you know, maybe we get blown out. Maybe we find another way to win. If that would be the positive thinking that I would have if I'm on this football team. You know, as an analyst, I don't think they compare to any of the teams that in the NFC or the real teams in the AFC either. But if I'm on this football team, I got to look at it as we have a chance. We have a chance. And at the end of the season, that's the best thing that you can have, a chance to have a chance. And in this case, they do have an opportunity. They do have the opportunity to play Dallas and try to win that game. If they win that game, they get a home playoff game. And that's all you can hope for at this point in the season, week 15, that you get an opportunity to play in the playoffs and you have that destiny in your own hands. And I would be excited about that, because as bad as they played this season, they lost to the stinking Miami Dolphins and they still can make it to the playoffs. That's a great opportunity for this team.
All right, let's go to the phones. Gary and Cape May Courthouse. Gary, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Gary?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good, man. How you doing?
All right. Kudos to Tyrone and Natalie for the great work they did all week while you were out.
Yes, first. Good job, guys.
And next, just a couple of observations / comments. First, do you think Doug has enough sense to use Ward the way Belichick uses Edelman? And second is, since the arena football...
Well, Edelman's used as a slot receiver. Ward's going to be an outside receiver.
Well,
so.
No, he's a former quarterback. They're both former quarterbacks who are, quote, too small to make it in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, and I get it. But Edelman's had many years as a wide receiver in this league, so he's no longer a quarterback.
He's also used on those option plays. Burn the Eagles.
He threw one pass.
Well, he burned the Eagles.
He threw one pass in 6 years.
Okay, whatever. And the other comment is, with the Arena Football League shutting down and the dire need that this team has for wide receivers, don't you think there's one athlete out there looking for a job that they
can
play?
I would say no.
No.
I know they're all NFL cast-offs.
They're not even NFL cast-offs. They're not even good enough to make the league.
The NFL scouts, their main job is to scour NFL, you know, all those other leagues out there, and as well as the practice squads of other teams to try to find some talent. I have to believe that Howie Roseman and his staff have been looking all around, and the best that they could come up with is guys off their own practice squad. So to me, that means that
they're there's nobody in the Arena Football League that you're going to be able to glean.
And some of them have signed with the XFL, and the way the XFL set it up, once you sign with them, you can't go back to the NFL until after the XFL's first season. Because they did grab some guys that are potential, and there was a quarterback that got some questions and a couple wide receivers. But if you sign with the XFL, you can't go to the NFL. And that's my guess as to why the Eagles ended up with the guys they ended up with.
All right, let's go Chucky on his cell. What's up, Chucky? Chucky, you're on, buddy.
Hey, hello, how are you? I'm right here live from Ridley Park. Go Eagles. Go Eagles, man. You know?
Yeah.
Boston Scott. I mean, I looked at him back when he was, you know, just like when the Eagles were preseason, man.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, the dude is so impressive. Sign him on, man. Sign him on.
Chucky, where are you calling from? Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ridley Park, Mike.
Ridley Park, okay. where are you?
Ridley Park. Beautiful Ridley Park.
Yeah, I know Ridley Park, but where are you exactly? Man. It sounds like you're...
Right now, I'm talking to you, Mike Wise.
I know. Okay.
Yeah, man. Go Eagles, Mike.
All right, buddy.
Go Eagles.
You got man. It. It's like my
Chucky
man.
Chucky wasn't here for no conversation.
My man was in a pub, sounded like.
Yeah, was he in a bar?
Yeah, that's why I was in a pub.
He kept saying, nah, we knew you were in Ridley. Where are you, Chucky? Call us back and tell. I'm dying to know.
He was on the payphone.
Yeah,
put a couple quarters
in. Double deuce.
He's like, you know,
the double deuce.
Let me give Mike a call from the bar.
Ridley Park. I know Ridley Park, but where Ridley Park? I'm at the pub.
Beautiful.
Yes, Jerome in Elkins Park. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Sounds like things are jumping at Ridley Park.
Oh yeah,
huh?
Absolutely.
Okay. Brian, since I'm on here with you, I want to just thank you for, you know, your service as an Eagle. I mean, I don't remember what team it was, but I still can imagine you that time when it was nip and tuck, the Eagles season, might have been the Giants, and you're up at the top of the screen on the television, your arms start pumping, you make a few guys, and it's down the sideline. So doesn't matter what team it was, I knew it was important, and I think everybody who's seen you play here in the city still remembers those things you did.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Brian,
thank you for your service.
Yeah, that's right. Yours right. too, Mike. I'm not leaving you
oh,
out.
Thank
don't
you.
Worry.
All right,
yeah.
thank you.
And I mean
all
that right. seriously, because this thing that's been initiated is it's pretty good a venue, you know, making contact, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, let me jump into what I might go in some way. You know Sixers and basketball also, Brian, so it's not as though Embiid and Simmons are really the focal point of that team. And it seems as though if one guy has a good game, the other guy might just fade. It's almost like a fork in the road. I don't see it as being like a control thing, like whose teams it's going to be. But I don't feel as though Brett Brown is establishing, making it easy. You know what I'm saying? for these guys if they want to be productive together. What's your thoughts on
that? Well, you're not the first guy to complain about Brett Brown. To me, I got to have a lot more time to see this team blend. Like I said, if they got to 40 games and they were still slogging along, but they're not slogging along now. They're playing good basketball. So to me, that means they're growing.
Well, Mike, two steps forward and one step back. I mean,
well, no. They've been more than they're 12-2 in their last 14.
You see, Brian, Mike gets overwhelmed with talent.
Now, wait, hold a second. I just gave you a statistic.
That touches a nerve with Mike.
No, wait, hold a second. Let's have a conversation, Jerome.
They
won 12 of their last 14. You're telling me they're up and down.
Mike. They have the talent to beat the teams they should, but we both know they're not playing as well as they possibly could.
They just beat Boston last night.
Beg pardon?
They beat Boston in Boston. It's a big win.
I give them their props.
They beat Denver. That was a good team.
But did they do it with the full fulcrum of what, you know, you had Embiid who a couple of games ago, you know, it was as though he was like, you know, oh, I'm not having any fun. Now, suddenly, he gets his whole car pulled, but then Ben goes into an Australian walkabout.
They won the game.
Mike, you got one game in mind, and I like to play it like that.
Yeah, but Jerome, here's the thing. You can't make the argument that they're up and down, the one step back, two step. They've won 12 of their last 14, right? They beat a good team last night. They beat Denver. They beat the Heat at home. They've been crazy good at home. Now, they have lost to some bad teams on the road, but it's still a young season. So, like as I say, when you get to 40 games and they're inconsistent as you say they are, there's reason to complain. Not today.
Yeah, to your point, Mike, they've beaten every Eastern Conference contender at least once this year, except for the Bucks, who they are yet to play. So based on getting out of the East, they've taken care of business at least once against every single team. Celtics twice, except the Bucks, who they haven't even played.
His argument was valid 3 weeks ago when they were kind of in that mode. They're kind of rolling right now.
Since November 17th, like you mentioned. Yeah.
Right, we'll talk about it. You saw the game last night, right? What do you think of this squad last night?
Well, I think Embiid was dominant last night. I think really what the caller probably was questioning more than anything was, can Embiid have a 30-point game and Simmons have a 22-point game at the same time? Can they do that consistently? Because when there were times in the game when Embiid was out where I thought it was time for Ben Simmons to take over, and he's still deferred.
Yeah, Ben was not. Well, he didn't look good last night. So you're absolutely aggressive. Right. But like I said, Embiid had his bag last night. Embiid had the whole team's bag last night. So however they win it, I get it with the Ben Simmons thing, and I've been bitching all day about it. But you beat Boston and the guy's dominant, I'll take it. And then we worry about the next thing that comes along. I say quick break. We'll come back. We got our fearless picks. Also, Hembo's going to join us after the picks. So, Brian, get your picks ready. And I got mine. And it's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:31, and of course, with Brian Westbrook on Football Fridays, which is brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, for accidents, malpractice, nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, the power of justice, more than two decades helping our community. Let's hear the music. There we go. Brian, it's time for our McCausland Locks of the Week, brought to us by McCausland Lock Services. 50% off car keys and remotes. Check it out online at 4FOURCarKeys.com. Your serve.
You know, Mike, last week I disappointed myself and ended up losing the game. It was uncharacteristic of me. I ended up 2-1 last week. And you know, that maybe, you know, winning two games is good enough for you. It's not good enough for me. I want to be 3-0. That's why this week I went even harder. Okay. And so here's my pick.
All right.
First pick, we're going to travel to Pittsburgh, where the Buffalo Bills are taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are favored by a point. I don't believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe in the Buffalo Bills defense. Buffalo Bills win that game outright in Pittsburgh.
I like it. It's one of my selections.
Good start right there. Next, we're going to go to a team that is fighting for the playoffs, a team that has to continue to win to get in. That is the Minnesota Vikings are traveling to L.A. to play against the Chargers. Now, this game opened as the Vikings as a 3-point favorite is down to a point and a half in the Vikings' favor. I think the Vikings win that thing big. I don't think that the Chargers are good enough. I don't think that they're playing for anything, and the Vikings are hungry right now. Vikings win that game big, fighting for the playoffs.
All right. Sounds good. All right, so I also have the Buffalo Bills getting a point and a half to win the game at Pittsburgh. Oh, you have one more game, Brian.
I'm sorry. So excited about your picks.
I forgot.
Here's my best pick right here.
Oh, your best pick.
Yeah, the L.A. Rams are traveling down to Dallas. This game opened as Dallas as a 4-point favorite. It's gone all the way the other way. Now the Rams are a point and a half favorite. To me, that's the line talking to me. Mm. And I'm picking the L.A. Rams to win in Dallas, who will lose 4 in a row before they play the Philadelphia Eagles.
I like that one, too. So the Eagles lose, Dallas lose, and we continue to slog our way to a championship. All right. So here's my selection. Yeah, I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills. I think they're a solid squad, and they get a point and a half. I think they win the game outright. I don't know why I'm going with these two games, but I'll grab them anyway. The Bears, this game was a higher line. All of a sudden, it shrunk down. The Chicago Bears, I think, can beat the Packers. I think the Chicago Bears are energized. They're giving them 4.5. Yeah, Green Bay minus 4.5. I'll take the Bears to cover and maybe win the game. And the Houston Texans are at Tennessee. And for some reason, Tennessee has been energized. And they are 3 points. So they're, you know, regular home favorite. But I'm feeling the Titans in this game. So I'll go Tennessee minus 3. Buffalo plus 1.5. Bears plus 4.5 for my selections. We good?
I like that.
All right. That's the Mike's Locks of the Week with Brian's Locks of the Week, presented by McCaws and Lock Services. 50% off car keys and remotes. Check it out online at 4FOURCarKeys.com. All right, Brian, well, it's been a lucky day for you, Brian, because we have the man. We usually have him on Thursdays, but we have him on today, and he was called into some high-level ESPN meetings. He, of course, is the world-famous Hembo from the ESPN morning show Get Up with some Hembo stats as we go into the Redskins-Eagles game. Hembo!
How are we doing over there today?
We're doing good. You know what, the legendary Brian Westbrook.
If you told 15-year-old Hembo that he'd be on the radio with Mike Missanelli and Brian Westbrook, I would have peed my pants. I would have, straight up, bro.
Well,
I can't lie.
Yeah, well, hold it in for this segment. You know, we don't want to.
No problem.
All right.
No problem.
So Hembo, here's the deal. You know, a lot of people call this show and they go, Carson Wentz holding on the ball too long. And I go, yeah, but you don't know what he sees when he's got the snap and he's looking downfield. He doesn't see separation. And this statistic is amazing to me. Go ahead.
Mike, you missed. Over the last two games, Carson Wentz has targeted his wide receivers 40 times with an average separation of 2.3 yards. That, according to NFL Next Gen stats, that is the lowest average for any quarterback to start multiple games since week 13. And just a fancy way of saying exactly what you just did, his receivers aren't getting open. So what I say you enter the screen game. Since week 8, Washington is allowing almost 12 yards per play on running back screens. That's the fourth highest mark in the league. So my expectation that Miles Sanders and Boston Scott will be as involved in the passing game as the receivers on Sunday.
Well, it's got to, but the Redskins defensive coaches kind of know that, I would think. So we'll see what happens. Now, let's go to the other factor, which I think favors the Eagles, Dwayne Haskins, who is just careless. And he likes to throw. For some reason, he thinks he can throw the ball down the field. But the stats would not indicate he's very successful at that.
Not at all. 38% of Dwayne Haskins' pass attempts travel 10 or more yards beyond the line of scrimmage. That's much higher than the league average, as you just pointed out. He owns the second highest off-target rate on those throws, which should produce opportunities for Eagles takeaways down the field. And to capitalize, Jim Schwartz's defense should use multiple high safeties far more than they normally do. Mikey Mitz, when facing those defenses, two high safeties, Haskins owns a quarterback rating of 9 out of 100 and has not thrown a single touchdown pass on 42 dropbacks against
him. Now, Schwartz is not a too high safety guy.
Not at all. The Eagles have used that defense with the fourth lowest total in the league. But look, with how bad these guys cover on the perimeter, like those two guys in the middle are probably the best thing we got as far as the secondary is concerned. And if they can lure him to throw in some of those deep balls, I think that's like the Eagles have a real chance there to capitalize.
See, on this it makes so much sense that when you put it that way, that he won't do it. Really?
He's so stubborn.
He really is. He's going to play defense his way, and that's going to mean nothing to him. But so we'll see what happens there.
Let me say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why you could be able to play the two high safeties if you're stopping the run. Now, if you can't stop the run, and I know Adrian Peterson is my age, and so he's still playing football. But if you can't stop the run, then you got to bring a safety down, and you can't have that two high safety that you guys are talking about.
All right,
that's fair. Malcolm Jenkins is really good in that area, and as you guys know, he sort of plays rover sometimes with no Darius guys. I think you got to give it a shot early in the game with those two guys up top. That's what I think.
All right, Carson Wentz. Really good second half. Let him down the field several times. It was a Carson Wentz that we had some pride with last week. But apparently he is a bad bet with the Eagles as a favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to utter a statement that I hate to say, but it needs to be said. Carson Wentz is a flat-out bad bet. Over the last two seasons when favored, Mikey Mitz, the Eagles have covered 5 times in 16 chances with Wentz as their starter. That number is 2-5. This season. Meanwhile, the Redskins have covered in 3 consecutive games, in all of which they have been an underdog like they are on Sunday. I just don't like that match.
All right, so you don't like the Vegas part of this game.
I don't like the Vegas part of this game, given the trends in on both sides. And frankly, if you just look at the last few games, Mikey Mitz, you can make a reasonable argument that the Redskins are the best team in this division. It's not outrageous to say, but the quarterback is reckless. But the defense is okay, and they're just piecing some things together moderately. Like, they play the last 3 games, the tape is not dreadful for the Redskins.
All right, so a solid bet would be the Redskins plus 5.5 this weekend.
I like the Eagles outright, but Redskins plus 5.5 to me is the one to hammer.
All right, let's conclude with the ESPN Football Power Index and the percentage of them getting into the playoffs.
So RFPI says the Eagles have a 33% chance right now to reach the playoffs. That number bumps up to 40 with the win, but falls all the way down to 14 with a loss. Our model gives the Eagles a 74% chance to win on Sunday. That equates to an 8.5-point favorite. So this is one sort of rare case in which our computer favors the Eagles a lot more than Vegas does. But anytime there's a big difference, I'm always sort of fascinated as to why.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a larger spread than most instances.
All right, I'm going to yell at the Football Power Index right now. I know it's a bot and it can't hear me, but here's the deal. If they lose the game, Dallas loses anyway. So that 70%, 74% or whatever it is to reach the playoffs falls to 14 is totally erroneous, Mr. Bot. How's that?
I think we just sent you to voicemail. I think those guys leave at 4:30 on Friday.
All right, listen, man. Good talking to you on a Friday. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
You're a good man.
There he is. Hembo from the show Get Up. I want to talk about when we come back from a break, Brian, that Carson Wentz to separation, 2.3 yards, last in the league. It's unbelievable. Brian, one other question as we go to the break. Do you use the Squatty Potty?
The Squatty Potty?
The Squatty Potty.
No.
Are you a Squatty Potty man?
No. Don't even know. Have no clue what that is.
Well, we'll tell you about it on the other side. Okay. Because I know you're a big endorser.
I am.
You know, and thanks to you, I got some Persil laundry detergent.
There you go.
Yes. So I'm thinking this might be the next Brian Westbrook endorsement.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll talk about that after this. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:47, Mike Masnelli Show. This is some terrible news that we should touch on with Flyers young player Oscar Lindblom. Nat, the Flyers issued a statement, apparently that he has cancer.
Yeah, he's been diagnosed with Ewing's sarcoma by leading specialists of the University of Pennsylvania. He'll undergo further testing and evaluation next week and begin treatment immediately after. He's not expected to return to the play for the remainder of the season.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's sad. And then the Flyers, you know.
That's terrible news.
Yeah, the good, I mean, so I Googled it. It's a rare type of cancerous tumor that grows in your bones or the soft tissue around your bones. It affects people from the ages of 10 to 20 and has a high rate of being cured. So that last line is a little bit of a silver lining, I think.
Well, you know, certainly best wishes to him and the Flyers. And they've been bitten by the young guys' injury bug and all the turmoil they've had there. All right, Brian, let me I want to touch on this Carson Wentz thing. And put yourself in the mind of a quarterback. And now, you know, a quarterback has that that clock in his head, right? And that goes both ways, too, because when you get the ball out of your hands, it means your receivers are giving you a break and they're giving you a lane. That stat that we read, can you imagine what he sees back there? Well, it's incredible to me. When he drops back, he looks down the field at guys that are supposed to be running a pattern that's open, and it's not open.
Right. I mean, and that's a problem, and I absolutely understand that. And it's difficult. It has to be difficult to throw the ball to a spot and your guys either aren't there, or when they are there, they're covered. And so that's one of the problems that he has to deal with, and I understand it's been difficult. You know, Mike, as difficult as I believe that is, I still think that Carson has to make some of those throws. I still think that he has to give some of those guys an opportunity to make some of those plays. And it's not going to be...
Well, what does that mean? That you're trusting guys that aren't open to make a play?
Well, you don't have a choice.
I mean, well, it's an interception, though, waiting to happen.
Well, no. I mean, you have to make a throw and put the ball in the place that's best for the receiver, not the defender. I mean, that's what you have to do.
You're saying he's got a tighter window and he's got to use it.
Yeah, it's going to be tight window throws. That means you're going to have to anticipate a little bit more. That means you're not going to wait until the guy gets totally open, that you have some confidence that he's just going to get open. He has to get to this spot and throw the football to that spot.
Let me ask you this about these receivers. Is it a matter of a lack of athletic ability to get open? Is it a matter they don't know how to run a correct NFL pattern? What exactly is that?
Well, look at the teams that have receivers that are always getting open. When you think about Green Bay, Devontae Parker just goes up. He runs good routes, but he's big. He can go up and catch the football. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They have speed receivers, smaller guys that are just speed guys, right, that can take the top. They're fast. They can take the top off the defense. They're quick in and out of their breaks. We don't have any of those. Look at, you know, other teams that have good receivers. These guys are big and fast. I'm thinking about the Chargers. They have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. They're big and fast. We don't have any of those things. We don't have a bunch of fast guys, and I think Nelson is fast. He's just not very good at catching, which is the biggest part of being a receiver. We don't have a bunch of fast guys. That was DeSean Jackson. We don't have a bunch of big guys that know how to play the game well. And I think Alshon probably is in that category, but he's been hurt all season. Everyone else didn't have the skills. And so that's the reason why these guys can't open. They don't have the skills to do that against the better defenses.
The lack of skills points right to a front office.
Of course. Yeah, that's exactly what it points to.
That's exasperating.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think drafting receivers has not been a great skill for the front office. I don't think they've done a great job of doing that.
Well, you wonder what they're looking at, to be honest with you.
They're looking at the wrong things.
Yeah, I guess they
are.
Looking
at production, you know, and as far as on the college level, they're not looking at, can this guy get open in the NFL? Mm-hmm. Can this guy get open against a fast DB? Because everybody in the all the defensive backs in the NFL for the most part are fast and physical. Can you make a play? Because when I saw J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in college, I saw him catching the 50-50 balls in the end zone. But at some point, you got to make the plays to get to that opportunity to catch him in the end zone. And I didn't see a guy that was explosive off of the line of scrimmage and that ran great routes. That's what I saw when I saw the draft pick.
All right, let's go. Dave in Center City checking in. He always loves to call when B West is on. Go ahead, Dave.
Yo, gang. Happy Friday the 13th.
You too, Dave.
So, it's funny, Brian, I'm going to get down to business, but it's funny you mentioned the squatty potty. You may find this kook.
There's something wrong. There are a couple wires that just go disconnected with this dude. Wow. Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kev?
How you doing, Mr. Westbrook?
So, Kev.
Why are we worried about Nelson Agholor not playing? Are we worried about tracking the ball, missing that pass against the Atlanta Falcons, those drop passes in the Detroit game? Why are we worried about him not playing?
Well, because they don't really have anybody else, bro.
Well,
and,
Mike,
and as bad as he is, he's at least experienced.
Mike, we know what Nelson Agholor is. He's not going to be here next year. Let's give these guys a chance. That's the way I'm moving forward with these guys that we got right now. He's not going to be here next year, you know, so
they're trying to make the playoffs. You want to put your best guys out there. Right?
Nelson Agholor is the best guy.
He's got more experience than what you're putting out there. You can't put novices out there.
No, he don't, Mike. We know what he is, Mike.
Who's Arthega Whiteside?
That's what I'm saying. Give these guys a chance.
What do you mean? Give them a chance. You've seen what they are. Give them a chance.
I seen the other night. JJ track that ball and catch.
I'll track your sister. He can't track anything. He stinks.
Oh man. Well, I'm ready to move forward with these guys.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you are.
All right.
That's it. Good, man. Move forward with Greg Ward and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Josh Perkins. Let's go! Here we go!
Those guys, I mean, they're just not, they're not skilled in that way. But the good thing about it is we're not playing a defense this week that is overly skilled as well. Mm-hmm. However, I do think their defense is better, especially at attacking the quarterback, than the New York Giants who we played last week.
We'll go one last call because Vicente wants to click in here. Before Brian goes away. Vicente on his cell. Hola. Hola, Vicente. ¿Qué pasó?
Bien, bien. Thank you. I'm 100% with Brian Westbrook because he likes what he's seeing out in the field from the Eagles' young running back, Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. They say the day. Boston Scott was the unheard hero. Ryan Brian.
Yes, he's a hero.
He went chess on him.
I mean,
chess.
Listen, if you want to get from Boston to Washington, you have to run the mile. Miles Sanders. Definitely. I'm with you 100% with Mr. Westbrook. He reminded me of, you know, he misses the tackle, makes the people misses him, and he swims like a serpent. You know, that's what the running backs are for, to save the day. And Doug Peterson had to put it on.
Awesome. So, Vicente, I didn't even say anything yet. You're correcting Mundo and me. I didn't even say anything. So you are a Boston Scott believer.
Yes. And, by the way, Michael, I am in your favorite place on Bristol Pike in Croydon, in Dog and Bull.
What's it called?
Dog and Bull.
Dog and Bull?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Croydon was tough turf, man.
It's Croydon.
I wasn't allowed in Croydon at the dark.
All right. In California?
Yeah, I was in California.
I'm very glad you're back.
Newport Beach.
Have a lovely weekend.
All right, Vicente.
Take care now.
Adios. There you go. You went Jess on him, Brian. Did you know that?
Did I?
Yeah, you went Jess. Vicente sometimes sucks you into that, man. All right, man. Listen, you have a great weekend, and we'll talk. And Monday.
Sounds good.
All right, there he is, Brian Westbrook, joining us every Friday, Football Friday, brought to us by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. All right, we're back with the 5 o'clock hour coming hard your way on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.